Welcome into a new episode of the Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, December 20th. This week, Dr. Jun Gong returns to the podcast to discuss his perspective piece from the October issue of the journal Oncology titled An Evolving Relationship Between Medical Oncologists and Genetic Counselors in Prostate Cancer. Gong, a practicing medical oncologist who specializes in the treatment of genitourinary cancers at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, commented on an article we previously examined on this podcast with Dr. Alexandra Sokolova, which was titled Germline Testing in Prostate Cancer, When and Who to Test. This review article, written by Sokolova and her colleagues, focuses on the treatment implications of germline testing and how this type of testing is becoming more commonplace. Gong's perspective applauds Sokolova and her colleagues for their work and really expands on the necessary relationship between medical oncologists and genetic counselors to effectively treat patients with prostate cancer. Dr. Gong was kind enough to share his time and insight with me on this topic, and I really think you'll enjoy this conversation. Take a listen. Dr. Gong, welcome back to the podcast. You know, thanks for joining once again. Let's talk a little bit about this manuscript that you wrote for the journal Oncology. It's accompanying a review article, which is really interesting, talking about the relationship between medical oncologists and genetic counselors. So before we get into your piece, could you talk a little bit about that review article and give a brief overview of that piece that you reviewed?
Yes. So firstly, Matt, thank you for having me back as usual, and it's always a pleasure. And that was a very timely piece, in my opinion, written by Dr. Chang and team on a review of current genetic counseling guidelines in prostate cancer. I think it's a very increasingly relevant topic because not only from a treatment perspective, we've also had better tests and germline tests that have been developed as well. So what they cover is the fact that now with expanded testing and our knowledge and improvements in technology, we're able to find up to about 12% of BRCA mutations, germline mutations in metastatic prostate cancer patients. And so this is a very expanding size of patients with these germline mutations. And it means a lot of things because it means from a therapeutic standpoint, we have PARP inhibitors now FDA approved to target these mutations and treat prostate cancer in these patients. Number two is now we recognize that with more capabilities in detecting these mutations, there's going to be a need for expanded germline testing. And that poses the dilemma that I think was proposed and should be applauded for, that with a limited amount of genetic counselors in the country, I think they cite a source that says approximately 4,000 genetic counselors are available in the U.S. With an expanding population of metastatic prostate cancer patients and even high-risk localized prostate cancer patients, there's going to be an expanded need to do germline testing, and this is the dilemma that they cover.
Right, and on the point of germline testing and germline mutations, you write in your perspective piece that germline mutations in DNA repair genes can guide the use of FDA-approved targeted agents and really explain that there's this association that has a direct relevance to medical oncologists. Could you expand on this idea, specifically that direct relevance and what exactly you're referring to and kind of the point you're getting at there?
Yes. So from you know, our medical oncologist perspective, where we're treating patients with systemic therapies for advanced disease and advanced prostate cancer, germline testing and somatic testing as well of particular mutations have been able to identify targeted therapies in this era of precision oncology that helps treat patients based on a specific molecular profile. And this means a lot because it's matching therapies to patients' unique molecular features. And that's thought to be more beneficial in terms of efficacy and safety as well. So what I mentioned in my perspective piece, and the authors of the review highlight this as well, is that foremost is that BRCA mutations, when detected, There are two FDA-approved drugs right now, rucaparib and olaparib, that are FDA-approved in metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer. There are now trials seeking to advance them earlier to MCSPC, or metastatic castration-sensitive prostate cancer. And there's also ongoing trials, of which one of which our group here at CDRS is participating in, of investigating PARP inhibitors in targeting DNA damage repair in localized prostate cancer patients with radiation therapy. So although these results of these trials have yet to pan out, you can imagine that the field for which you can apply these results is going to widen from the metastatic space to earlier and non-metastatic spaces as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with this, and I think you kind of started to touch on this briefly, but the authors of this article kind of touch on different care models for delivering germline testing. And in your perspective, you know, you really called this out and really appreciate this point that they make. So why has this area become increasingly important and relevant for the field?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's the kind of the heart of the review article. Is it did a fantastic job highlighting the background and the current guideline recommendations for who to be tested. But I think the heart of the topic was, how do we collaborate both from a healthcare team perspective in a multidisciplinary fashion to help our genetic counselors, our colleagues in genetic counseling, meet the demands of such a growing population? The traditional model, I believe, would be genetic counselors see their patients for pre-test counseling, they administer the genetic tests, and then they do the post-test counseling. You can imagine that's, you know, with such a limited workforce of genetic counselors with the growing population, that's going to be hard to meet. And so they introduced a couple of other models, such as the provider-led model, where providers, such as a medical oncologist, can actually, in their visits with these patients, talk about counseling, the pre-test probability, administer the test, and even do some post-test counseling. But then there's a hybrid model where if there's a positive result from the germline testing, then at that point, as the oncologist or provider, we refer them to our genetic counselor colleagues. And you can imagine by just bypassing some of the steps, and if we receive the adequate training to do so, we can really help offload some of the burden of these demands from our genetic counselor colleagues.
And you started to touch on this, and I'm really glad you did, because it kind of flows nicely into my next question, focusing on that hybrid model and how it impacts oncologists. What exactly, or could you expand on exactly how it helps them shoulder some of the burdens of counseling and, you know, specifically ordering testing and anything really they have to do in the process?
Yeah, so in the classical or traditional model, there would be a two visit kind of setup, where it's the initial visit to talk about what the risks are, what we're concerned about, and the pretest probability of the genetic test. And then there's the administration of the test. And then there's the second visit, which is where you're reviewing the results of the genetic test. So, you know, if you can imagine having an N number of patients, you multiply that by 2 to 3 visits each time. And that can really intensify or increase the number of visits and time spent by the counselors, doing their jobs in genetic counseling. And so with this hybrid model, you can imagine we're helping them shoulder the load. We're taking away those initial visits. And we can do more visits ourselves within our clinic. We can help them administer the test. And then only on the post-test visits, you know, with the positive result, when we refer them to the genetic counselor, we're saving them a lot of the time and effort spent on this, where they can maximize and be more efficient and spend their time elsewhere, where there's high need for, and it allows them to open up their volume. And I think it streamlines a lot of things for us as a multidisciplinary team.
Right. Absolutely. I completely agree with that point. And looking at, clinicians who lack genetics training, you talk a little bit about this and how they might experience numerous obstacles when counseling patients. Could you expand a bit on some of those obstacles and what can be done to really, you know, help properly handle them?
Yeah, I think the concern for all of us in the provider-led or the hybrid models is our comfort level with performing these initial germline testings. And these involve a multitude of issues. One is just learning about the diagnostic capability coverage of these germline panels. But it also comes down with just our comfort level with counseling on pretest probability. What do we do with variants of unknown significance, you know, or VUSs? How does that impact cascade testing, which is what they talk about, how you test the family members upon a positive test or not? And also counseling about how this affects their beyond their medical, you know, treatment, their livelihoods, you know, the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act or GINA, you know, we have to have expertise in that and how that impacts, it doesn't impact medical coverage or employment, but it can impact life insurance, you know, it can impact military coverage as well. So there are a lot of, you know, aspects beyond medical treatment that we need to be aware of when we do these kind of tests in the provider-led model. And I think ultimately it all boils down on how do we, you know, become more competent and sufficient in this testing. I think it is, this does rely a little bit on our genetic counseling colleagues to provide us with some education and training so that the provider and their staff are well-equipped to handle all these multitudes of issues that can arise.
Right. It just sounds like kind of a whole team effort there to really accomplish this. So taking in this review article and the perspective that you wrote, you know, if you're giving this a kind of 30-second main takeaway for somebody who read this or is listening to this podcast, what would you say is the main takeaway from this work?
I think the main takeaway is to just acknowledge that there is a growing demand for germline testing in prostate cancer, and that it serves both a medical purpose for the patient, but also is it's beneficial for screening purposes for the family members that are affected, that could be affected by the patient as well. And we to recognize this and to realize that we need to help shoulder some of this workload with the genetic counselors by coming up with some kind of collaborative system where either it's a provider-led or hybrid model or some other, you know, healthcare team member that can help perform and shoulder some of these initial germline testings. I think that that's one of the ways to alleviate this increasing demand from our limited workforce of genetic counselors. It can also increase our acknowledgement that we need to hire more and train more genetic counselors in the country that means more educational graduate school programs, training programs that expand their classroom sizes. And then lastly, I think the third point is we're now in the current era of the COVID pandemic. I think we underutilize telemedicine as well. And I think this is something that can also be used as one technology to help shoulder this burden. Telemedicine is very convenient. You can do video calls, you can do telephone calls where the initial counseling, pretest counseling can occur. You can mail a kit, a genetic testing kit to the home, and then you can follow up post-tests remotely as well. And I think this can also offload a lot of the burden with these in-person visits with our genetic counselors and providers as well.
Absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. Well, Dr. Gong, that's all I had for you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, really anywhere you get your podcasts, or just listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information and to stay up to date on all the news and notes in the world of oncology, visit us at cancernetwork.com or find us on social media, first at Twitter, at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. Have a safe and happy holiday, and we'll see you again next time.